It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. Holy shit, look who made it on time.
I even took a bath.
Did you really take a bath? Please tell me you really sat in a bath with bubbles and candles and everything.
I don't have a bathtub in my house, but, you know, it's a general term, bath.
Is it?
Yeah. A bath is
when you get in the tub and sit in the water. That's a bath.
Well, but you go, hey, go get in the tub to the kids. That means go take a shower. No?
Yeah. Our kid usually turns it into what he calls a shabath, where he'll shower and then run the water and then sit in the bath. I don't know. Yeah.
Now, the bath was when the kids were young and they sat in the pool with their own filth.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a shower guy, in and out, you know.
In, out, up, down, round and round. Welcome in, everybody, to Kabali and Mac. You're angry. I get it. Like an old man trying to return soup at a deli. And that's okay. We're all kind of pissed off after the way the Steelers have played the last 2 weeks, at least on defense. So we're here to get it all out, because I still think there's more that people need to express despite everything we went over on Monday. Now people are mad, Kaboom, and we are the voice of the people.
You know what? Taking a page out of my kid's book,
yeah,
I'll say the Steelers got the Temu of head coaches. Temu?
Yeah, when Temu. My kid makes me go out and play backyard football every night after dinner. He's in that phase right now. And every time I miss a terrible throw, he calls me the off-brand Aaron Rodgers. So, similar. Temu, off-brand, whatever. Your bootleg coverage of the Pittsburgh Steelers starts right here on all of our social media, including Instagram, where we're now at 500 followers on Instagram. Just eclipsed that number this morning, which means we got $100 Yoli's gift certificate to give away here, Kaboom.
Ooh, hope I
ready
win.
To do that in a second?
As long as I you know, I hope it's somebody.
No, you can't win. Stop it.
Sure I can. I want some Yoli can't. Rollies. I want some Yoli Rollies.
Well, then go buy them.
Or I do.
And ask Benny and see if he'll give you some.
Every time I go, Benny's not there, so.
He's a busy guy. He's there a lot.
He must be in the morning, afternoon guy.
Yeah, I mean, when you're running the joint, you don't have to be there all night, at least not hopefully. That's what we call delegation. Got to thank our good friends at Southwest Greens for supporting the show always. Maybe your yard is a mess. Maybe you're tired of it being a mess. Maybe you're just tired of spending all the time, money, and maintenance on your yard that you do. Get grass that never needs to be mowed, watered, or fertilized. Beautiful artificial lawn from Southwest Greens. You go, oh, fake grass. Yeah, but it doesn't look like fake grass. It doesn't feel like fake grass. It doesn't act like real grass. Perfect for you, the family, the kids, the pets, everybody to enjoy the yard whenever you want. So again, you're not spending all that time mowing and seeding and fertilizing and all the money on all that watering in the middle of summer when the grass doesn't grow. Go to southwestgreenspa.com. Tell Jake that Kabali and Mac sent you. So let's get the business out of the way before we get to everybody being pissed off at Mike Tomlin. We should give away the Yoli's gift certificate since we got to our 500 follower mark on Instagram.
By the way, I cut my grass for the first time in 3 months yesterday.
Really? I did mine last weekend, I think it was. Two weekends ago.
The rain's coming.
Maybe one more.
November. That's it. I'm done. I ran the lawnmower out
before Thanksgiving.
I ran the gas out of everything and packed it up for the winter.
Oh, look at you. Such a responsible homeowner. All right. I need you to pick. So I have the follower list on Instagram pulled up on my phone here. I need you to pick a number between 1 and 20, and that's how many swipes I'm going to give it through the follower list. And then we'll do another number after that.
You want me to pick one and 20?
Between 1 and 20. Come on. This isn't rocket science. It's random.
I'm just trying to figure out who's a good number. In honor of Aaron Rodgers will go number 8.
Number 8. Okay. I'm going to swipe down the list. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. All right. And now I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 names here on this page. Pick a number between 1 and 9.
7.
7 in honor of Big Ben. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, great. Someone who doesn't even have their name on it. Silence of the Woods 13 on Instagram. Hunting, fishing, being outdoors and spending time with my family in their bio, and a picture of a bike up against a tree in the woods. So congratulations to Silence of the Woods 13. I'm going to tap the little follow back button here and message them to tell them that they've won $100 gift certificate.
Tell them if they're out of country, out of state, they can donate it to the program.
Why? Why always angling for something for yourself? You're getting a beautiful new truck in a couple of days.
Should be today. Not new, first of all. Not new.
Okay. Pre-owned. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay. You don't need any more.
Yeah, yeah. Right? You know, honestly, though, that the you know what else is not pre-owned? The payments. So.
Well, yeah. Things cost money. I'm sorry.
I know.
Especially a nice car.
When you can get things for free, you take them. If it's free, it's for me.
Yep. Bruce Arians said something wild on the McAfee show yesterday. We'll play
while
that
I was
later.
Cutting grass. While I was cutting grass, I heard it. I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm talking about. You know where I'm going. Steelers added another piece to the secondary in lieu of the Deshaun Elliott absence for at least the next 4 weeks. We'll get to Kyle Duggar in just a couple minutes as well. But let's start with the Mike Tomlin press conference from yesterday. And he was asked by our good friend Will Graves of the Associated Press about the team, you know, not showing the same resilience it should in the face of adversity the last couple of weeks.
On defense, should they, at this point in their careers, be able to handle adversity better than they did on Sunday?
You know, sure. Our kids should do what we tell them to do, but they often don't.
That's such a nonplus response to a legitimate question. Sure. Yeah, they should, but they didn't. You feel like that was a little blame shifting there by Mike Tomlin?
If it wasn't, it sure came off as one, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it came off as, I mean, let me tell you, let me preface this whole thing is Mike Tomlin gives zero shits what he says in there. He does not prepare. He does not care what the backlash might be coming out of it. So we preface it all with that then he asks this question. So.
Well, when there are zero job security issues
surrounding
your role, you have very little reason to give any shits about anybody outside the building.
That's the problem with these press conferences is people take it for the words he says. Whatever he says, he just says. That doesn't mean he means it. He believes it. He tells his team that. But yet we sit there and we parse and pick everything apart like everything he says is gospel. It's just not. It's gospel to us because he does not give a rat's, you know what, about what we do and what, not what we do, but what he tells us, what goes beyond behind closed doors. Saying that, I mean, how can't you not take it as, hey, I tell them what to do. They just don't do it. I mean, in my experiences covering the league, typically they probably do tell them exactly what to do. Just like when Danny Smith told Caleb Johnson, you know, get on that ball a million times, then all of a sudden he didn't. But is that a good look at that point right now? First of all, he doesn't care.
That's nice.
Number one. I mean, the whole preface is he does not care what he says and you picking apart everything that he says.
Wouldn't that also imply...
Because he probably does not say this behind closed doors.
Wouldn't that also imply that he doesn't care what any of us think, right?
Yeah, I mean that's probably why people view him as a player's coach, right? He'll do anything but to throw those guys under the bus.
Well, I mean, he wasn't exactly effusively positive about Darius Slay, a veteran in the league yesterday.
He could have
done some decent things.
Well, he can't cover that up, right? But for the most part, he's not going to say this guy's a piece of garbage. I mean, his classic one is always, Well, I did not hear that, so I cannot speak of that. You know, Cam Hayward. Okay.
Yeah, he said that about Cam Hayward's comments.
He said that about George Pickens' eye black last year, too. So, I mean, that's an easy out.
Here's the thing. I don't want anybody running an organization, and let's not be confused. Mike Tomlin runs the Steelers, okay? He's got a general manager, obviously, that goes out and helps him procure the players that he wants. He's got a defensive coordinator who calls the plays. That was a big argument online yesterday afternoon, too. You know, is Mike Tomlin really calls the plays on defense? No, I don't. We've had it established that this isn't similar to what Keith Butler called it on his way out the door, that Mike Tomlin was calling the defenses towards the end of his tenure. Terrell Austin is calling the defenses. Even if Mike Tomlin has a very heavy-handed influence on it, you can see him standing there with the little index card-sized play sheet in front of him, talking a lot, especially when the team is on defense. Anyway, my point here is he runs the organization. Even if there are other people doing their jobs, he is in charge of all of it, right? I don't want anybody running my organization who is prisoner to the moment in any given week, day, minute, whatever it may be. But I also want someone who's going to understand the tone and tenor of how people are feeling. Like you said, I don't want them to come out and maybe flame individual players, although sometimes it calls for it. I would like to see him understand that his defense has been awful in 4 of 7 games this year, and that it is the reason they have not put any distance between themselves and the rest of the division when they had an opportunity to. It is the reason they may be wasting the final year of Aaron Rodgers in the NFL. It is the reason everybody and their mother expects the Ravens to come back and win this division this year and wouldn't be surprised to see the Steelers miss the playoffs. It is the reason people are pissed off his defense. And I don't know if he's well enough aware of that, or I think probably just as importantly, if not a little more curious to me, doesn't really care.
No. Why should he? I mean, he's been doing this for 18 years. He doesn't have nobody to answer to. I mean, who's he trying to make feel better? Joe and Blahnos? I mean, that's his mentality. I mean, why am I going out here and saying stuff just so the average fan feels good about themselves? I mean, that's the way I take it.
And that's where I think I didn't want to make this a global conversation today about Mike Tomlin and his relationship with the fan base, but that's where I think a lot of fans lose touch with Tomlin or feel like they can't relate to the guy, because a lot of fans, ourselves included, you know, we live, eat, breathe this stuff on a daily basis. And a lot of fans go out of their way to invest a ton of time and money in this team. And they care a lot, Steelers fans. Just do, right? The standard is we care. And it's hard, I think, sometimes. It's really hard and very frustrating. It will downright piss you off to get the feeling that the coach doesn't give a rip what you think.
Well, in the grand scheme, he doesn't. I mean, what difference does it make on a Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock if – you know, you think one way or another.
Not on a Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock, but maybe on a Tuesday at noon.
So you want him to pretend to go up there and say, yeah,
we stink,
man.
When he's in the midst of coaching a game, he can't listen to the 67,000 people sitting behind him and coach the game based on every single cat call or shout that he hears at Heinz Field or wherever the hell they're playing on a given weekend. That he's in the moment. He's in the game. I'm asking him to like focus on when to use timeouts and things like that correctly. But to not understand the tone and tenor of the fan base and the city when you look as poor as they did the last 2 weeks on defense, I think is kind of whistling past the graveyard just a little bit. It's blame shifting from, well, and look, I'll give him some credit. He did take some responsibility on himself and his coaching staff and a couple other comments he made yesterday. But that in particular comment about, well, sometimes you tell your kids what to do and they don't do it. sounds like, yeah, I mean, I laid the groundwork. I don't know what to tell you guys. They shit the bed.
Hey, I tell you one thing, though, too, is he's very calculated, even though he probably doesn't care in the grand scheme of things. He's very calculated of what he says because he knows it has that trickle-down effect to the locker room. So he knows some things he says will get back, well, you know, most of the stuff gets back to the players. So if he wants to sit there and feel gloom and doom, you stink, when he feels deep inside that they need Darius Slay, so I better not trash him here. We need our defense to really step up here, so I don't really feel like hammering them right now. He's calculated in things that he says like that. So
yeah, I mean... I just have a hard time, and I'll use the phrase whistling past the graveyard again, because it sounds like he's looking at the defensive failures, especially the last 2 weeks, as, well, we gave up some chunk plays that we can't give up. Other than that, everything's fine. 386 yards a game would indicate that everything is not fine. 30th in the league in total defense would indicate that it's not fine. Giving up 30 points again for the fourth time this year would indicate it's not fine. And it feels like, especially with the addition of Kyle Duggar, who we'll get to in a couple minutes, like a lot of the blame is being placed on, hey, some guys on the back end aren't doing their job. I don't know what to tell you. If we clean those things up, we'll be fine. But I think we can all see that it's more, yeah, those big plays are killer, right? Like Juan Thornhill trying to play a ball up in the air that he should be intercepting, like an 8-year-old out in right field picking daisies, is not the only problem with this defense.
Yeah. I mean, but we do have to realize that secondary, what we call the problem here, was put together by who? Handpicked by who?
Mike Tomlin.
I don't know if that would have any effect in how he acts or says or talks about these guys or not. I mean, Jalen Ramsey was his pick. I still, once again, I have no issues with Jalen.
I haven't had a lot of problems with Ramsey either. I think he's actually been one of the few bright spots on defense.
I mean, the Slay thing, it's a one-year deal. There's no such thing as a bad one-year deal, be honest with you. I mean, you take your chances and he's gone next year. Thornhill, those guys are late-round picks, whatever. But that he handpicked these guys on defense for them to struggle like this. Does he want to come out and say this? Probably not. Probably not, but I think the fever pitch of this fan base is a little, I don't want to say out of control, but a little hyper.
Well,
they want to fire everybody. And you know what? I am not a big proponent of firing people, especially coaches, in season. Let's see how this season plays out, and I'll come talk to me in January. I mean, 6 quarters ago, he was the coach of the year. They were 4-1. They had three great defensive performances in a row. They struggled against Seattle. I mean, they struggled against the Bengals, obviously. And they played two really good defensive quarters against Green Bay. Then it fell apart. So I'm not sitting here saying fire, fire, fire. Every time something bad happens to the Steelers, what's the first thing you say?
Fire Tom.
I mean, there has to be a better way to go about it than that. The fire Tomlin. He's lost his players. Not one person said that the first month of the season. Not one.
Well, I think there were definitely some questions after the first 2 weeks. You know, they got a win over the Jets because the Jets are the Jets, and the offense had a great game. They looked bad against Seattle. They looked bad here against Cincinnati last Thursday. Looked really bad in the second half against Green Bay. I think that, and look, I said this the other day, I've never been a fan of instantly going to that either. Like they lose a game, fire Tomlin. I think it's the accumulation of things now is catching up to people, and it's catching up to this team, because it's not just 4 bad weeks on defense this year. It's not just that on top of the last 5 games last year. It's all of that on top of how long have we been talking about this defense, despite the fact that you've got TJ Watt, you've got Cam Hayward. Like, you used to have Minkah Fitzpatrick. Now you brought in Jalen Ramsey. You've got all Patrick Queen. You've got all these things that should be working to your advantage, and yet they're not. And there seems to be very little acknowledgement that all of this is a snowball rolling downhill. I understand as a head coach, you go from week to week and year to year and you try to compartmentalize, but there also needs to be an acknowledgement that repeated failures, even if they don't necessarily come in consecutive weeks sometimes, are piling up. And that if, like you said, Joe and Blahnox can see it happening, if Julian Edelman can see it happening, if anybody else can see it happening, we're all seeing it happen. The Steelers' defense is predictable and easily beatable, and there seems to be a lack of a sense of urgency from the head coach to take care of that.
I just think going to the fire Tomlin thing is just a lazy narrative at this point. I totally understand what you just said, the 10 years of utility, the defense struggling over the past couple of years. That's understandable. But just because of a couple bad weeks in season, first of all, you know he's not going to get fired. And what would fire him right now do? All I say is there's other constructive ways to waste your time or not waste your time, but to use your time than to say, you know, they gave up an 80-yard touchdown pass, fire Tomlin. Okay, let's see how we're going to fix this, or let's have some intellectual talk of how to go about this rather than fire this, move. Who can move around? Who can they acquire? What can they do to get better rather than fire? I'm more worried about let's see what happens in January. Then we can make that decision at least myself as a whole. Is it the time or is it not time?
Well,
for all we know, they can win their next 10 games or they can lose their next 10 games.
I do think there is a certain amount of let's work within the confines of reality, which are, like you said, we know he's not going to get fired during the season. I do think that if this defense continues to, and it doesn't have to be every week, like maybe they clean it up against Indy. Who knows? Maybe they have a good game against the Chargers, but then they fall back to earth against the Bengals, the Bears, and the Bills. Like the problem is, it's almost like the organization resets its disappointment level in the defense after every good performance. A good performance will wipe out the previous two or three bad performances, and I think that's another issue that. It's almost like if you've got a big heaping cup of disappointment about the defense, they play one good game, we pour it out, and we start to accumulate disappointment all over again, at least organizationally. With fans, it doesn't work that way. We still have the memories of the second half against Green Bay, the Cincy game, the Seattle game, the Jets game, the last five games last year, and it's all just sitting there building up, and starting to spill over into my God, why can't this defense consistently perform? To your point, maybe they get it together. But everything we're seeing, everything that's accumulating and spilling over is giving us less and less and less hope that it will consistently perform.
You know, another thing is with being a waste of time, he signed through the 2027 season, which means you could pretty much rubber stamp him being back next year regardless of what happens. Then if he's in his final year of a lame duck season, then maybe you could talk about it. So, I mean, it's a waste of time. How are you going to get better? How are you going to turn this around? How are you going to beat the Colts? How are you going to beat the Chargers? How are you going to get back into this? How are you going to fix that secondary all of a sudden? So people were sitting there sitting on their hands, man, just waiting. And that second and a half of the Packers game, they're like, this is the time. Fire
Tomlin. Well, it was a spectacular meltdown. It was.
No, it was not pretty. I understand that.
And it's not, like I said, just the big plays. It's not just Tucker Kraft. It's not just Jamar Chase the week before that. It's the fact that every week when this defense struggles, the other team has seemingly found a way to beat them and not had to try real hard to find it. The Jets, it was with the running game. Seattle, it was deep balls to Jackson Smith and Jigba. With Cincinnati, it was the slants to Chase. with Green Bay, it was hitting the tight end in the flat and letting him break every tackle. So every week there's a new thing that teams figure out about this defense and say, that's where we're going to get him. Wouldn't be surprised at all if this Sunday it's back to the original blueprint at the beginning of the season, which was, well, let's just run the ball on him because Jonathan Taylor is having an MVP season.
Could be.
And that offensive line is scary good.
Yeah, but it's scary good against teams like Tennessee and Jacksonville and stuff like that.
I mean, they've all got better defenses than the Steelers right now, at least according to the stats.
So, I mean, let's put this in perspective. We want to fire Austin, fire Tomlin, get rid of Watt, right? We should have never got rid of Fitzpatrick. I got that one today.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that you bitched and moaned about for two straight years have never made any plays. You want him back, losing the locker room. I mean, you just – I understand the passion of the thing, but you got to just keep it in between those white lines a little bit right now. First of all, nothing's going to happen. And second of all, I don't think they're as bad as what they've shown so far. Maybe I'm wrong. And I think time will be able to tell that right now. So,
You know what they might be, Mark? They might be not as good as 4-1 and not as bad as the last 2 weeks as they've looked. And they might be right there in the middle. They might be exactly what they have been just about every year for the last 10 years, which is somewhere in the wild card discussion and losing in the first round of the playoffs.
Well, you know, I bet you a lot of teams would take that right now. But
a lot of people would. Steelers fans won't.
Maybe that's wrong with the Steelers fans. I mean, I just don't. I mean, the bottom line of this, the old nut graph of the story for me is every time something's wrong, it's the same response. Fire Tomlin. Let's just come up with something new.
Well, they tried to come up with something new yesterday. We'll get to it in a second. Thanks to the Dan Heck team for supporting the show. They've been great since the very beginning on board, helping support the show, and we appreciate them for it. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area, they will take care of you. Go to heckteamhomes.com if you're looking for a new place. All the listings online there, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. The whole team, Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, all there, ready, willing, and able to help you sell a home, buy a home, land you in the perfect Haas for you and your family. The Dan Heck team. Go to heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K. They went out and made a trade yesterday, Kaboom.
Fire Omar, too, right?
Yeah, what about Omar? Fire him?
Yeah, fire him. What has he ever done? You know what he just did? He acquired a safety here for absolutely nothing.
Yeah,
nothing.
That's the interesting part. This is essentially a late round pick swap. They traded a sixth round pick next year to the Patriots for a seventh round pick and Kyle Duggar. They also wiped out the last 2 years of his contract and got the Patriots to eat most of the money of that $9.75 million base salary for the rest of this year. So to your point, basically nothing. A late round pick swap for a guy who was starting for the Patriots as recently as 4 or 5 weeks ago. The interesting part to me about this is that Kyle Duggar and Jabril Peppers were really close in New England playing together. From Mike Rice's story at ESPN.com, when the Steelers went up to Foxborough in September, Duggar was asked about Peppers, called him a big part of the communication in the secondary. My God, if I hear the word communication one more time, I'm going to scream. And said he had a great relationship with Peppers. They were locker mates right next to each other in the room. I'm really curious to see if the Steelers do a better job of folding Kyle Duggar into this thing than they did with, for example, Mike Williams last year, because they've got an opportunity, I think, if they use Duggar and if they start to use Jabril Peppers, who really hasn't seen the field much in the last few weeks, use those two together, who already have a built-in relationship, who might be able to help each other out on the back end. It can't be worse than what we've gotten from Thornhill and Clark the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, but I think those two are very similar, Duggar and Peppers. I think Duggar's just a clone of Deshaun Elliott. I don't think he's going to cover too many people very well. So what I would still like to see is Jalen Ramsey back here somehow, alongside a guy like Duggar. I mean, Peppers hasn't played that much, which is surprising to me, which means they must see something that they don't like out of him, at least in regular base defense or defense in general. But if you got the Duggar just to replace Elliott, I think that's the way you go. Peppers can fill in whatever. All this tells me is, obviously they're not happy with Thornhill. They're not happy with guys like Chuck Clark, although one of them is going to have to play unless you move Ramsey back there. But they went out and they found somebody. I mean, they found somebody. They weren't sitting back and waiting. Is he going to be any good? Why New England so quickly to get rid of him for nothing?
Well, Vrabel's
and better yet is, why didn't nobody else want him? Unless Omar, such a great GM, said, let's call this guy. How in the world wouldn't nobody else take a flyer on a guy for nothing?
Well, Vrabel has gone out of his way to turn over a lot of that roster in the beginning of this season. And they've been winning despite all that because Drake May is having a phenomenal year. But that's I don't think with all of the pieces that you have in the secondary, even though a lot of them have been disappointing, I don't see why you can't put all three of those guys that we just talked about, Duggar, Peppers, and Ramsey out there at the same time. Let Duggar and Peppers play up as strong safety types. Let Ramsey play the back end, and then Porter and Echols on the corners. Yeah, I know they're not going to immediately staple Slay to the bench. They'll still rotate him in, but there's your starting five right there. And at the very least, you're trying to fix something. You keep telling us that the problem, if you read between the lines, you're telling us the problem is that guys aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. Well, at the very least, put different guys out there then.
Historically, he does not do that.
Historically, it hasn't worked.
He says he's going to change it, but then he doesn't change, right? So if we see very much of the same this week, I would not be surprised, just because it just doesn't change. I remember whatever it was, 10 years ago, he demanded change after the Vikings game in London, and his big change was like, starting Hayward instead of Brett Kiesel or something, or bringing in Levi Brown or something. I mean, it was not the big changes, and this has happened throughout his tenure here. He doesn't make those big changes. Honestly, though, you want Echols out there. First of all, Echols did not look good the other day. And second of all, the Jets didn't want Echols. What does that tell you? Echols is more of a slot guy in my eyes rather than an outside guy. So you're taking your chances if you're throwing Echols out there instead of Slay. I know he can't do any worse, or can he?
Echols played pretty well early in the season, I thought. Had a really good game in New England. Point I'm trying to make here is that you can get these guys on the field together in Duggar and Peppers. And I don't think it hurts to try it.
Okay, now it brings us back to our original point of scheme. Who comes up with the scheme and who calls the plays? So...
Well, it also brings me back to the original point that I mentioned a little bit ago of, you make a good point. They don't traditionally make giant waves in season, right, with changing personnel. Well, when something doesn't work and you keep trying it anyway, that's the definition of insanity. So start trying more different things. And what can it hurt? Is your pass defense going to get worse? It statistically can't. Statistically, it can't get any worse. It's 32nd in the league, your pass defense.
But what I'm saying is, if you've got your head coach in that room on Monday and Tuesday and saying, this is what we're going to do. So if it fails again, and we're going to sit there and blame Austin, I mean, we don't know how that scheme goes. We don't know how that works, and we'll never know how that works on when they put together the game plan and the scheme on defense of what they want to do. I have a feeling, just to hear Mike Tomlin talk, in different settings before, that he has, I wouldn't say total control, but sure to hell a lot of control. But you got Carl Dunbar in there. You got TA in there as well. Is what I'm saying is, if you're moving these changes around, or people are changing or not changing, heading into the game is based on one guy and one guy alone, in my opinion. That's Tomlin. So if it fails, it's him.
Which is another narrative that has been around for years, which is his inability to bring in assistant coaches who will, very strong assistant coaches, who will bring ideas to the table that may end up superseding his own. Brian Flores was here for a year. I understand they probably had a little handshake agreement like, hey, Brian, if you can go out and get a job somewhere else, you go out and get a job somewhere else. But if you're Mike Tomlin, in my opinion, whether we're talking about Brian Flores or taking control of the defense from Dick LeBeau years ago or from Keith Butler years after that, or just not hiring the stronger, more innovative assistant coaches, that is something that has existed over the years as well. And again, if it's not working, then you go out and try something different. And that's been something where you used the word stubborn the other day, right? I think that's the primary fault of Mike Tomlin right now. Too stubborn and too patient in waiting to see if things work themselves out. And I understand, in the pocket of what we're talking about right now, we're talking about 2 weeks and four bad games this year. But that's, again, when I start to expand the conversation out to what we've seen over the last several years. And it's, he doesn't change quickly enough. He's not flexible enough. He's not willing to listen to other ideas. He sets the course, and everybody else has to work within his game plan.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know how much, you know, back to Flores, I don't know how much he had to do with it, of anything game planning or anything like that. I think he came in, it was a hard ass and was just looking for that next job. I don't know how much he sat down and said, we need to do this, this, and that, you know.
Well, but that's an indictment in and of itself.
I don't know.
He brought in Brian Flores and didn't let him contribute in the way that
I'm sure he contributed. But he's not sitting here bringing out the outline here and saying, this is what we need to do.
Here's my question.
I'll tell you one thing. Dunbar's a strong voice, and he's been there for 15 years, so he has a lot of say in that too, I would imagine. A lot of those other guys, I mean, they don't have a ton of – how many defensive coaches they have? Denzel Martin? I don't know how much he really contributes to that. They just got a new inside linebacker coach. They just got a new secondary coach. Where are we going for outside, you know, people on the outside giving you ideas? I don't know.
You're kind of proving the point there. Like, we get turnover in these defensive assistants every couple years. My question would be, is that because they come in here and they think they're going to learn at the foot of Mike Tomlin, and then they're not really allowed to contribute much, and they move on somewhere else? Or is that why Tomlin likes it that way? Because he likes to bring in guys who aren't going to have extremely loud voices.
I don't even think it matters. I don't think it matters. You can have the guy with the strongest voice possible say, you know, the hell with you, I'm the head coach. I mean, you think he's going to look, you know, back down to – I mean, name a strong
voice.
Maybe
he should be.
Brian Flores, it was a very strong voice. You know, oh, Brian, whatever you say, sir. No, like, I'm the coach. This is what we're going to do.
Part of the beauty, and I know it's always a bit of a straw man to compare Mike Tomlin to Bill Cowher. It's two different eras. But part of the beauty of Cowher was he always brought in great defensive minds. Like, Dom Capers came in and basically invented the fire zone defense. LeBeau came in and came back and refined it. And he always had strong defensive minds that he leaned on, and he let them do their thing and command the defense. Even though Bill Cowher, for what it's worth, was probably more of a defensive-leaning head coach, right? So he let guys come in and take control of that side of the ball. We still, 18 years in, and over the last decade, it's been a struggle on defense more often than not. We still haven't seen him let somebody do that.
Are we sure that Bill Cowher let his assistants do that? I mean, that's a little bit before my time. I wasn't really covering the team a little bit, but not much. I mean, we sure Cowher didn't say, no, this is what we're doing? I don't know.
Well, if it was Cowher, then what they were doing was working more often than not. And well,
maybe they have better players.
Maybe.
I mean, the assistants are tough, man. where are you going to find an assistant? First of all, you got to get an assistant coming from somewhere, or you got to develop that assistant. If you develop an assistant, you have to start with a young guy in the first place. So I know other teams do it, but that can't be the easiest job in the world to develop assistant coaches. I mean, you got the defensive assistants and the offensive assistants. I'm talking about the quality control guys. When was the last time one of those guys made the jump up to the regular roster?
Maybe that's an indictment too. I don't know. Again, everything's about Tomlin right now. Maybe it should be a little bit more about the guys on the field because they're not producing as well. Thanks to our good friends at Impact HVAC for supporting the show. Another one that's been on board since the very beginning, and we appreciate them. Get your furnace checked out before you're running it every single day, although it's probably running a good bit overnight as it's getting chilly. It's getting frosty out there. So have Impact HVAC come out and give it a quick look. Make sure everything's running the way you need it to this winter. At Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook, or give them a call, 412-297-1852. You can get that furnace tune-up half price instead of $79.99, $39.99 right now if you donate a new kid's clothing item or children's toy to Impact HVAC. They'll get into the hands of the Foster Love Project. And again, cut the cost of that furnace tune-up right in half.
Steelers sign John Rhys Plumlee to the practice squad. Their wide receiver problems are over.
Wait, are you kidding me?
Wasn't he the quarterback?
He's a quarterback, isn't he?
Says wide receiver, safety Derek Forrest and lineman Jack Driscoll.
That brings me to a question about wide receivers, because it was reported a couple nights ago by Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports that the Steelers were going to be signing Marcus Valdes-Scantling. He came in for a workout on Monday. Mike Tomlin was asked about it yesterday, kind of played it off and said, yeah, that's what we do this time of year. We brought in Von Bell. We brought in some other guy, worked him out. When we sign him, we'll let you know. So what is the deal with MVS?
Well, what I've known was right before the season that the Steelers thought they were going to sign him to the practice squad. He decided against it. He decided to go to San Francisco because he thought there was a better opportunity to get him on the regular roster, which they were going to activate him after maybe a week or so from the practice squad, and he'd have a chance to play. He got hurt, didn't really play a lot. They released him. So it made only sense that he would come circle back around to the Steelers, and it looked like it. When I hear he has not signed him yet,
is that just roster shuffling that has to be done here?
There might be something. I haven't really dove into the Marquez Valdes-Scantling practice squad eligibility and where he fits on the roster. I mean, right now, to me, do you need him?
Yeah, I mean,
you can use him on a practice squad, but is he going to really do anything? I'm not saying go out and don't snoop around to other receivers that are potentially out there, but is he going to move the needle to the point where, oh, why didn't they sign him?
Well, they've got Calvin Austin. Roman Wilson has shown up in the last couple of games. They're traditionally not going to run really many, if any, four wide receiver sets. So I don't know how much room there would be for him on the field. But, I mean, unless they're trying to diversify the offense a little bit more in what they're doing, and bring in somebody with a little bit of familiarity with Aaron Rodgers.
That's what it is. If somebody, I mean, he would make sense to go on the practice squad. Maybe MVS saying, hey, I might be able to get on this team's regular roster, so I'm not really interested in going into the practice squad. Maybe that's the case right now, because where he would fit in here with the Steelers would be just like you said. You sit him on the practice squad. They've done this with veterans before. You stash him out there, and if somebody gets banged up, there is no getting on the moving train. At least when it comes to your quarterback, he's a veteran who's played with the quarterback. He can jump in and at least provide a little bit of familiarity to the offense and to the quarterback. So that's where it would make sense to me. Maybe he's thinking there's something else out there. Wait till after the trade deadline?
Yeah.
I'm just spitballing here. Wait till after the trade deadline, and maybe some teams will be looking for somebody to add to their roster, and that's why he's waiting for it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree that wide receiver issues are pretty far down the list right now of things going on with this team. They've got to learn how to use their tight ends first before they then start to learn how to use a second and third and fourth wide receiver. So, again, I don't know. I just found it curious that it went from, yeah, we brought him in. Yeah, they're going to sign him to, eh, we'll let you know if anything happens.
What it sounds like to me, it's his choice, not the Steelers' choice.
And if you're MVS, like you said, do you want to be stashed on a practice squad if you can actually go play somewhere else? I don't know. Thanks to the good friends at Higgins Professional Painting for supporting the show as well. Going to get into Kaboom's house soon and do some
next
work.
Week.
Next no. week.
Well, I think the, I don't know, she told me the 10th, the 11th, maybe something.
Okay,
like
so
that.
The week after next, Chargers yeah. week. So they might Oosh. Do it while you're flying out to beautiful Southern California.
No, when I'll be flying back. I think it's on a Tuesday.
Okay, but they're going to get in there. They're going to paint your wife's office there in the house. Whatever you're looking to do, interior, exterior, fresh curb appeal, a new look inside, they'll come on in and do it. All the drywall repair as well. If you're like us and you got kids that have banged the house up, they'll fix that up just a little bit. You know, the holes in the wall, the dents, all that kind of stuff. And then they'll make it look beautiful again. Even if you got a business, commercial and industrial painting as well, they do it all. Higgins Professional Painting. You want to have them stop by and get you your free estimate. Get in touch with them today, 412-344-0480 or HigginsProfessional.com. We appreciate them supporting the show as well. Big fans of Higgins and the fact they've been doing this for a long time. They're professionals. It's right there in the name.
I might, when they're here, try to get an estimate on this.
Yeah, do that. Do something more than just the old press passes on the back wall.
I just slammed that up there. It's in there with like a thumbtack or something.
They'll fix that for you.
Well, look at that. It's the WWE belt.
Yeah.
There's Johnny Lawrence of the Cobra Kai. I can't see right here. There's the Iron City light that I have not hung up yet because I'm going to.
You've only had that thing for a month and a half.
Well, I got to figure out where I'm putting stuff at. Yeah, that's the problem here.
Yeah, lots of
excuses. I'm very indecisive.
That would be an excuse, and we don't make them. So I mentioned this earlier in the show. Bruce Arians, who visits with the Pat McAfee show every week, was on yesterday and said something really interesting when they threw out the idea that maybe all four coaches in the AFC North could be on the hot seat.
Division of football. Mm-hmm. They got one team with a winning record of 4-3. All right, that's not good. And they got to play each other. 9-8 might win the division. Whoever wins the division gets to come back next year. I think the other three are probably looking for a job.
Wow. So whoever wins the division comes back and the other three coaches are all looking for a new job. You buying that?
No.
No?
I'm not buying that for because who got rid of Bruce Arians? I'm not 100% sure that Bruce Arians sends Christmas cards to Mike Tomlin.
But I think there is a point to be made.
That's
there.
The first thing that went through my mind.
That the entire division is a bit of a mess right now. Like, they also threw a number up on the screen yesterday during Pat's show. As a division, they're giving up like 270 some yards on defense every week. So even though you got Myles Garrett with 5 sacks last week, congratulations, you still got run out of the building by the Patriots. Even though you got Trey Hendrickson in Cincinnati, may get moved by the deadline, who knows? Even though you've got the Ravens and the Steelers, who are supposed to be known for defense first, just absolutely crap in the bed every week, both teams, that all of these coaches now might be in a spot where they don't have any answers for what's going on. Now, again, in Cincinnati, it's definitely a personnel issue. It's Hendrickson and then 10 other dudes, and your quarterback's hurt. In Cleveland, Cleveland's a mess every year, and Stefanski has won Coach of the Year twice because he's managed to make them respectable a couple times. In Baltimore and Pittsburgh, I think it's a more interesting conversation. A couple of guys that have been in the league for 18 years who are synonymous with one another, who have met each other more than any other pair of coaches not named Hallis and Lambeau, that they both are on these rocky boats right now where it feels like they could be taking on a little water. And look, neither the Ravens nor the Steelers are going to fire their head coaches in the middle of the season. You made that point earlier. I think it's a good one. Let's work within the structure of reality here, which should probably lean more towards both of these guys don't have a lot of answers for what's going wrong. Harbaugh is going to just lean on the fact that Lamar's coming back tomorrow night. Maybe that gets him pointed in the right direction. Mike Tomlin doesn't have a quick answer coming any.
Yeah. I mean, the only quick answer he has is a head coach. I mean, a owner that's not going to make a move. You remember what was that about 8-10 years ago? Harbaugh seemed like he was out the door. Then all of a sudden they went on a big winning streak. I don't see either one of those two being on the hot seat, regardless of what happens this season. I mean, barring 10 straight losses by the Steelers of giving up 50 points, maybe, and maybe Mike Tomlin, like, you know,
I mean, if they
spray paints graffiti on the south side building or something, is the only way he would go. I think Zach Taylor. Kevin Stefanski, just because there seems like a major disconnect between the owner wanting Shador and him not wanting Shador. Seems like there's a major disconnect right there. And you know what? The owner's always right. So you.
Jimmy Haslam's a dunce.
He's a rich dunce.
He's a rich dunce, but
can't be that dunce if he somehow made that kind of money.
I don't know. When it comes to football and owning a team in the NFL, he's a moron. He has no clue what he's doing. And he doesn't have the cachet that Jerry Jones has of helping build the league to its current structure 30 years ago. Like, Jimmy Haslam's just a dude that rode into Cleveland on his truck stop money and now is taking a bad organization and somehow making it worse.
Is there still such things as truck stops? Or?
Yeah. You just went on and on a couple months ago about Buc-ee's and how you can't.
Oh, that's not a truck stop. It's just
that is.
That's not what I wouldn't. Truck stop, I'm thinking, you know, if you go out 70 towards Washington, Little Washington, and out Bentleyville and that.
Out Smithton, that way.
No, Smithton, I was there just recently. It didn't look like a truck stop. It looked like a place you get gas.
Anything on 70.
What's a 70, truck stop?
Anything on 70 that's right off the interstate between the Turnpike and Ohio or West Virginia is a bunch of truck stops.
Okay, how about this? You have to have a shower in the building for it to be a truck stop.
Buc-ee's has those, don't they?
I don't know. I've never been to Buc-ee's. I don't go to Texas.
You're the Buc-ee's prophet around here. You're the one that wants to move into one.
There's one out. They're building outside of Cincinnati. Maybe next year.
Maybe if you're really lucky, Kaboom, you'll get to go to a Buc-ee's next year. Maybe.
Well, maybe if I'm really lucky, I can get that Yoli's gift card.
No, yeah. Somebody just won it.
Yeah, but he might be a fake. He might be a bot.
What do you mean he might be a fake or a bot?
Oh.
I'm getting angry text messages from people about you.
Okay. Oh, Damashek. I know exactly who it's from. I know exactly who it's from.
Oh, he texted both of us. I didn't realize. From the great Dave Damashek. Kabali's now rolling with a lot of teams would be happy to be in purgatory. Tomlin's the one who said historic.
Wait, exclamation point.
That's why my voice went up. No one was complaining about Tomlin a month ago. Dummy Dave was. That's from our good friend Dave.
Well, Dummy Dave also wanted nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers, too. So,
uh-oh.
Come on, Dummy Dave. Don't be picking and choosing.
If you're still watching, Dave, I feel like we should encourage you to just jump on the link that you have for the show, and we could just have this out right now. Thanks to our good friend Arch. Archie's on Carson in the South Side, Pittsburgh's best place for food, drinks, and sports, including Thursday night football. Tomorrow, we mentioned it, the Ravens are playing the Dolphins. Lamar Jackson will be back. We'll see if Baltimore can start to right the ship. Well, I guess they started to right the ship this past week against Chicago. But best place to watch that Thursday night game. All the games all weekend long, all the way up through Monday night, every day of the week. Get to Archie's on Carson Monday through Thursday nights. They got 80-cent wings, great sandwiches, burgers, flatbread pizzas as well, and ice cold iron and IC light always on tap, including the mango. That are we out of mango season yet, Kaboom?
Never mango season. I got mango, I got IC light, and I got my new Moscow Mule recipe I keep doing now.
Moscow Mules, really?
Oh, yeah, I'm trying to figure out different flavors.
A little ginger beer in there?
Ginger beer, some lime, some
I didn't
vodka,
have you
some
I didn't have Kambali the mixologist on my bingo card.
I did the pineapple one, but I don't know what else to do. But
so you should put some of that hazelnut creamer in there that you like in your coffee.
Oh, you know what? I forgot you can't drink a mule. You gotta just drink straight vodka. You know, you don't want no flavor in it.
I like Moscow Mules. I do. I don't like the taste of vodka. I like the taste of coffee. That's why I drink coffee straight black, right? Huh?
I'll throw this damn can at you. I'm trying to do my shack.
Get
it's supposed to be one. Supposed to be 1, 2, 3, not 1, 2 back to 1. Throw this damn can at you. You remember that one where he flipped out on Barkley?
Yes.
I'll throw this damn can at you.
Best sports show on television inside the NBA. Can't be beat. Cannot be beat. I'm sorry. And I'll argue with anybody that says otherwise. So Thursday night football tomorrow, we got to make our pick. We are even in the picks competition. A reminder that at the end of the year, whoever loses the picks competition will have to dye their hair. And I think facial hair too, just to give it the whole Hulk Hogan thing. The Hollywood Hogan thing. Black.
I'm winning.
We are perfectly tied right now, both 53-37-1. So, Kaboom, I'll let you pick first. I already got mine written down here. I'm not going to tell you yet.
I wonder who. Ravens or the Dolphins?
Well, yeah, there's only Lamar two teams back. Playing.
Has to be the Ravens. But all you know what? If the Dolphins end up winning this game, you're the one that wanted to fire Mike McDaniel, and now he's won like 3 in a row. I'm just saying.
Would that be 3 in a row?
I don't know. They beat Atlanta, right?
Yeah, they did. That would be. No, that would be 2 in a row, right? They lost to Cleveland ugly 2 weeks ago.
What I'm saying is this.
Then Tua got pink eye and everything got fixed.
Lamar's going to get the royal reach around on Thursday.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Not by me, but I'm just talking about the damn announcers. Not Herbie, because Herbie's calls it right down the line.
Okay.
But the other ones, the clowns on the set, they're going to be like
Sherman, Whitworth, yes. Fitz, Gonzalez.
They're going to Lamar it up hard.
Well, like I said before, it's the only thing that can pull the Ravens back from the brink is Lamar comes back and plays like peak Lamar. If he does, then they're right back in the conversation.
How about if he comes out and plays like poop?
Then they got an issue. And they got a big issue. That's when the rickety seat at Harbaugh's first run right now gets even shakier.
Just one for one swap, Tomlin for Harbaugh.
Oh my God. That's
how about that?
That's a wild idea that would never happen. That feels like Dom DiTommaso, who's the part-time producer at The Fan who just sends out ridiculous tweets.
Yeah.
That sounds like something he would say.
Yeah, Dom tried to bully me in following him on Twitter. You're not follow me. And I'm like, okay, I'll follow you now. I followed him. And 2 minutes later, I unfollowed him. And he still hasn't realized it.
He will now. Dom's a good kid. He sends out too many pony tweets. So we're both on Baltimore for tomorrow night.
Yeah, you going to get your nipples pierced tonight?
No, I am not. I have no interest in watching a grown man.
I heard the great Phil Maines is showing up to get his nipple pierced.
I don't think that's true at all.
Well, he texted me earlier. He said, I'm going to get my nipple pierced.
That's a lie. I'll back you up on that, Phil. Kambali is just making shit up now.
No, he said he might go. I can't go. I can't go, so oh well. Well, you know, I only have one car now because the other one's getting fixed so I could trade it in. So the kid has dance at 6 o'clock, and what do you want me to do?
All right. I didn't ask you to go. You asked me if I was going. I'm not going.
I can't go.
I hope they have a great event that raises lots of money.
You should go. You're part of the station.
I'm part of the company. You see, company.
Exactly.
No, I will not be there, but I hope Pony survives with very little pain. Man, nipples. Jesus. All right, that's going to do it for today. We will be back on Friday. We'll see if we can drag somebody from Indianapolis onto the show with us to give us a Colts perspective.
We could have a good one, but we could...
we'll have
somebody. I got to pull some strings.
Okay, see if you can make it happen. We know some people in Indianapolis, so I would hope we'd be able to make it happen. We'll see. We'll see. You never know who's going to pop up here, Uncle Bali and Mac, even though Damashek never logged in to argue with you in person here this morning.
Dummy Dave, that's why. Probably...
Dummy Dave. All right, that's going to do it for today. Make sure you're following on Instagram. We'll cook up another prize for that, another number for it. Congratulations. Hold on, I got to find the guy's screen name again on Instagram.
We're close to giving away either Will Hard.
Will Hard. Congratulations to our winner of the Yoli's gift certificate. I can't find his name right now, but we're going to make sure we get him that, so that where'd he go? He's not even on the list now because he's got to approve our follow. This guy better get back to us or else somebody else is getting it. And no, it's not you. But yeah, we're close as well. Let's see how many YouTube subscribers. Kaboom. What are we at? Let's check the number. Let's go to it. 2,893, so we are 100, exactly 125 subscribers on YouTube away from somebody winning either their choice, the autographed Will Hard Steelers helmet or the Stone Cold Steve Austin autographed black leather vest. Can't guarantee you'll get it in time for Halloween, sorry. But that's going to do it for today. Make sure you're following on all the socials, as they say, at Kabali and Mac, and we'll do it again Friday morning. Sound good? See you then.